First of all, thank you for the privilege of coming to open God's word. I always say, anytime, anywhere, any opportunity God gives to open his word and teach his word, I'm in, I'm thrilled to do it. And my wife and I have been coming over for the last 15 years and have really fallen in love with New Zealand, the people of New Zealand. And before our last time here, we were doing a conference in Wellington, and there were leaders from all churches off both islands that were gathering together. And we had people say, do you know the leaders? Do you know the people from Bethlehem Baptist? And we said, no, we haven't met them before. So they're wonderful. You got to meet them. And so we were at the conference, and I was sitting at a table, and Sherry was at a different table. And I was at this table with a group of leaders, and just were so much fun and so engaging and so passionate about their faith. And I just thought, I really like these people. And then we're sitting at these tables, we all had these lanyards with our name tags, they were kind of hanging below the table. And then one of them kind of leaned back, and I saw Bethlehem. And I said, it's them. It's those Bethlehem Baptist people I've been hearing about. And so it's just a joy to be here to open God's word and to learn together. And we're going to be talking today about what God has to say about growing in Jesus and going with Jesus. Growing in Jesus, becoming more like him. You could call that an apprenticeship, following Jesus, or discipleship. Growing to become more like Jesus, which we're all called to do if we're followers of Jesus. So growing in Jesus, but then when you grow up in Jesus, when you become more like him, he takes your hand and he leads you. That's going with Jesus. Growing in Jesus, becoming like him, going with Jesus on his mission to the world. And if you take the hand of Jesus, and if you follow him, no matter how old you are, if you're holding the hand of Jesus and you're going where he's going, he's always going to lost sheep, to the broken, to the forgotten, to those that don't yet know the love of the Father. And so I want to talk today, I want to think together about this connection of what it looks like to be growing in Jesus and then going with Jesus. Discipleship, apprenticeship, following Jesus, and going with Jesus. We call it organic outreach, evangelism, shining the light of Jesus. That's what we want to talk about today. So Lord Jesus, this is our prayer. As we open your word, as we listen for your spirit, we pray that every single person gathered online today, every person gathered on campus today who knows you and loves you, whether they're a brand new believer or whether they've been a Christian and they're in their 70s, 80s, or 90s, that we would take another step forward and becoming like you, Jesus, and then going where you go. What an adventure it is, Jesus, to follow you. Speak to our every heart today, we pray, in your name, Jesus. Amen. Would you listen to these words from 2 Timothy chapter 2? They won't be on the screen, but I want you just to hear these words from the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to Timothy, this young pastor in the city of Ephesus. And Paul writes these words to Timothy. He says, you then, my son, my spiritual son in the faith, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, Paul says, Timothy, the things you've heard me say, the things I've taught you, all right, in the presence of many witnesses, you, Timothy, entrust them to reliable people, but it doesn't stop there, who will also be qualified to teach others. Listen to that again and notice all, how there's just Paul to Timothy, Timothy to responsible people, reliable people, them to others. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, you entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others also. What an exhortation, what a call on the life of a believer. I want you to imagine you have your phone turned on right now and you had a little beep or a buzz. Now you're in church, you wouldn't do this now, but after the service show, there's a beep or a buzz. You look at your phone and you don't recognize who the text came from or the email came from. You don't recognize it, but it says, click on this link and watch this video. Do you do it? The answer is, I hope you've learned, no. Someone's either gonna steal your data or you're gonna see something you shouldn't see or don't wanna see. But if you look at your phone after the service and you get a buzz or a beep and it's someone you know and trust and it says, click here and watch this short video, you'd probably do that. Well, I had that happen one day. I got it and I hit it and I watched this little video and I watched it again and again. I watched it 8 times in a row. You ever done that? It was only like about 27 seconds, little video. So what was it that you would watch 8 times in a row? Well, here's what it was. It was a video of a little kid, a little baby, kind of crawling toward a chair, and then getting to the chair and climbing up the chair on these little wobbly, little feet, turning, and then taking a little step and another step and a third step. And then you could see in the frame somebody with their hand out with a little treat. See, bribery, how that works, right? So a little treat there. And this little child grabs the treat and falls on the ground, and the video stops. So why would you watch that 8 times? Because that little guy, here's that little guy. His name is Kel. That little guy is my firstborn son's firstborn son taking his first steps. They live in a different state. They're far away from us. And I thought to myself, this must be the most gifted child in the history of the world. I mean, never before has a child taken 3 steps so beautifully, right? I think, but I was thrilled. Why? Because now, obviously, every child who's physically able will do that at some point. It's not that impressive, but I was delighted because he was growing up. He was taking steps, becoming who he was meant to. They were wobbly and bobbly, but he was doing it. Do you know that your Father in heaven watches you? And whether you're 12 years old or 92 years old, every time you take steps to become more like his son, Jesus, the heart of the Father delights. He celebrates when you grow to love his word and live out his word. And it might be on wobbly, bobbly legs that don't have it all figured out yet. But the Father goes, that's my girl right there. That's my boy. Look what they're doing. Look at that. God delights when we're growing in faith, becoming more and more like his son, Jesus. And so even as we rejoice and celebrate, God does as well. And this is what I call a lifelong journey of growing in Jesus and then going with Jesus. A lifelong journey of growing up in faith, discipleship, and going with Jesus. Organic outreach, evangelism, shining the light of Jesus. And God calls us to this. God delights in this. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians 4. It'll be on the screens as well. But Ephesians chapter 4, in this amazing book of scripture, really written as a witness to the church and a call to the kind of church we're meant to be. And the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God, writes these words. Until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, grown up. See, God cares about our growing up and become mature. Then this, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's the Father's desire for you and me if we're Christians. The measure of the fullness of Christ, fully grown up in Christ. And if I ask you, have you arrived there yet? Are you perfectly like Jesus in every part of your life? My guess is you'd be honest and say, not quite there yet. If you're not sure about me, I've been a pastor for almost 40 years. If you're not sure if I've become perfectly like Jesus in every way, have a chat with my wife after the service, and she will tell you, I have not arrived. I'm still on the journey of growing, and so are you. But this is the heart of the Father. Then we will no longer be spiritual babies, right? No longer infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemings. Boy, when you walk with Jesus, when you hold his hand, your footing becomes solid. The winds of culture and deceitful people don't just blow you wherever they go. But you know what you believe. You know why you believe it. That's the heart of God, that we would grow up into faith. And so what I want to do today is I want to ask three epic questions about growing in Jesus, discipleship, and going with Jesus, organic outreach or evangelism. And I will tell you that as I look at these are all things that your church believes because you are a biblical church. So I'm not going to share anything right now in the next few minutes that you're going to go, That's revolutionary. I never heard of it before. What I hope you say is, I've heard that before, but it is revolutionary because this will change the world. When followers of Jesus live this way, it will change the world. And so we're going to ask 3 questions today. Here's the first question. The first question is this. How can I know I'm growing as a disciple, a follower of Jesus? I mean, how do you know you're growing up in faith? If you ask most Christians, are you more like Jesus than you were a year ago? Are you growing in your faith? They think, well, I go to church and I know where to find my Bible if I need it. You know, I mean, I guess I am. But how do you know? When I was growing up, I grew up in an interesting home. My parents were atheists. No faith in my home, not even in my extended family. My dad was a computer graphics inventor, and my mom was a math and science teacher, and it was kind of intellectual atheism. And yet my parents, I did their 50th renewal of vows. They really loved each other. And so my parents loved us kids. They had five kids. And we had a wall where they kept a track of how tall we were. And every year they'd have us stand against that wall, and they put a ruler in our head, and then they put a little hash mark, and they put my initials, KGH, Kevin Garth Harney. And then the next year they'd do that, and I'd be a little taller, and a little taller. Now imagine you had a wall like that in your home, and you were doing that with a child or a grandchild, and this year they're this tall, and you went and put the mark the next year, and they were this tall. Would you be concerned? Of course. They're shrinking. You could see it. The problem is spiritually, we don't always know if we're growing or not. And so how can we know that we're growing in faith? And the first thing is, and we had a team from our church spend a year asking this question. And we actually were asking this question because we were thinking about it because a national group of churches in New Zealand asked Sherry and I to come and be part of a conference talking about how growing in Jesus and going with Jesus, discipleship and evangelism, how they fit together. And so we were working on this and thinking about this. We invited our team in on it. And we discovered the place of the fruit of the Spirit in our ongoing growth. We sort of had this as in this process, and it was a year long, but in this process, we discovered that the inner work of the Spirit really matters in our spiritual growth. And if we're doing all the right stuff on the outside, the right spiritual actions, but we're not being changed on the inside, it actually doesn't work the way God has designed. And so in Galatians chapter 5, there's this two-verse passage that you probably know very well, but it talks about the inner life of a believer. What happens when the Spirit of God lives in you and moves in you? So Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In the Word of God, we're told that something should be happening on the inside that's changing our character, not just the things we do on the outside. And think about it. In Jesus' day, there was a group of people who did everything right on the outside, but Jesus was not happy with what was happening on their insides. They were called the Pharisees. They were a religious group. And the Pharisees, a Pharisee, if you say, well, did the Pharisees care about the Bible? Did they care about the Old Testament? Absolutely. Matter of fact, if you were a Pharisee, you could quote from memory, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I don't know if anyone here can do that. I will tell you, I can't. They knew the Old Testament. But you know what Jesus said? Something's wrong on the inside. Did the Pharisees know how to pray? Oh, did they know how to pray? They knew right where to stand on the street corner. They knew how to say the right prayers. They wore their phylacteries. They wore their tassels. They looked the part. And they would pray, and everybody would go, woo! Nice prayer, amazing. Boy, they're the best prayers. And Jesus said, no. Something's wrong on the inside. They knew the Bible. They did the Bible thing. They did the prayer thing. Offerings, generosity. Do you know a Pharisee gave 10% of everything? They take 10% of everything to the temple. If a Pharisee had a little garden and they had a little plant grow with one leaf, there was a spice. They would cut 1/10 of that leaf and give it at the temple. And Jesus looked at them with all their Bible knowledge, with all their wonderful prayers, with all their generosity. And he said, their hearts are like dead men's tombs filled with bones. They're empty. So Bethlehem Baptist Church, here's the word of the Lord for you. Before you're all about getting the outside right and doing all those religious things that impress people and I check that off the box, check your heart. Are you growing in gentleness? Ask your spouse, ask your parents, ask your kids. Am I more gentle than I was a year ago? If you want to know the answer, right? We're growing in self-control. We're growing in kindness, in peace and joy. How do I know I'm growing up in faith? The fruit of the Spirit is blossoming and growing over time, bit by bit. I'm becoming more like Jesus on the inside. And then I can think about the outside. right? What am I doing on the outside? And so we spent this year as a church staff with our children's leaders, youth leaders, adult leaders, talking about what does it look like to live the life of Jesus? What did Jesus do? What did Jesus teach? What did Jesus model for our lives? We came up with 7 distinct markers that mark the life of Jesus and that should mark our lives, that we can measure. We can look in and say, am I taking steps forward? But again, get the fruit of the Spirit right and then work on these things. So you'll see up on the screen here, this little picture, and each of those images is a picture of one of those biblical Jesus-given markers of spiritual growth. And here they are. And they're not complicated. You're gonna go, well, of course, this makes sense. Okay, Bible engagement. Am I learning, loving, and living the Word of God? That's what we teach the kids in our church. Learn, love, and live the Bible, right? Is that growing in me? Prayer, passionate prayer. Am I praying more? Am I hearing the still small voice of the Holy Spirit say, don't say it. Don't go there. Am I hearing that prompting of the Spirit? Am I talking to God? Am I confessing? Am I praising? Am I growing in prayer? That's an indicator that I'm growing to be more like Jesus. No one prayed like Jesus prayed, but it all came from his heart. The third one, wholehearted worship. Am I a wholehearted worshiper of Jesus? I shared in the first service, just being here and worshiping with all of you together, this worship team and their love for the Lord that comes through in the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Sherry and I have the privilege of ministering all over the world. And I don't say this everywhere I go, but there's times where I'll be somewhere and I can just say, the Spirit of God is here and doing something really beautiful and powerful. That's happening here. But is your heart, are you growing to love worship? Not just now, together like this, but all week long. Because the Apostle Paul says, we offer our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Am I worshiping all week long by surrendering to Jesus? That's part of growing up in faith. Humble service. Nobody served like Jesus. Am I washing feet? Am I sacrificing? Am I serving? Right now, there's people watching some of your kids and grandkids in different rooms here, teaching them about Jesus. They're missing church right now to serve you. Praise the Lord. That's the heart of Jesus. Are you growing up in humble service? Joyful generosity. Do I give generously and find joy while I do it? Because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. That's a sign. Am I becoming more cheerful and delighting that I can share what God has placed in my care with him for his glory? Consistent community. Do I love the family of God? Do I love being with God's people? Am I consistently engaging with the family of God and not kind of coming and punching the clock and then get out of here as quick as I can? But who can I meet? Who can I talk to? Maybe a cup of coffee, a tea, and just hang around for 5 minutes and meet somebody new. Do I love the family of God? That's part of what it means to grow in Jesus. And then the 7th one is what we call organic outreach. And organic outreach is just a term we use for naturally shining the light of Jesus, naturally scattering the seeds of the good news, going to the lost sheep that are around you and just pointing them towards Jesus in a way that fits who you are. Am I growing in that? Those 7 markers are indicators that I am growing up in faith. Now, I always like to give a little clarifier. Those 7 markers that we found in the Gospels that were modeled by Jesus and that were called to by Jesus. Those 7 markers, they're not a menu, they're actually a recipe, all right? And there's a difference between a menu and a recipe. With a menu, you go to a restaurant and they give you the menu. And you know what you do? You look at it, you go, I'll have that. No. I'll have that. And I'll have that. And you pick what you want. But a recipe, every ingredient is needed to make it the right way. Those 7 markers are not a menu. I'll have a double portion of Bible engagement. I like that. I'll have a double portion of prayer. I don't want any joyful generosity. Thank you very much. That's like broccoli. I'd get that off my plate, right? And I don't really need a humble service. I don't have time to serve other people, to serve in the community, to serve the church. It's not a menu where you pick one of those 7 things that you like. They're a recipe. And maybe for some people, the reason your spiritual life is not vibrant is that there's elements of what Jesus modeled and taught and called us to that you're not doing. And it's time to step into those and grow in those. And each of those could be their own sermon and their own topic. So here's the first thing to understand is that our spiritual growth is about the inner work of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Is that increasing? And the outer expressions of our spiritual growth, that we're growing in the word, we're growing in prayer, we're growing in community, that those things are happening. And when that's happening, that's I can know I'm growing in faith. I can look spiritually and go, you know what? I'm a little taller than I was last year. I've taken another step forward in my growth. I've grown in the scriptures. I've grown in community. I've grown in generosity. Not for bragging, just for becoming who we're meant to be. All right, that's the first question. Here's the second question. Is discipleship bigger than my relationship with Jesus? When I talk about growing in Jesus, when I talk about discipleship and being an apprentice of Jesus, is it just this? Watch, is it just this? Me and Jesus, Jesus and me. Is that what it is? I know I'm growing in faith because I love Jesus. I'm in the word. I'm in prayer. I'm becoming more like Jesus. Then I'm growing. Is it just me and Jesus? Or is it bigger? And here's the answer. It's bigger. It's beautifully and powerfully bigger. All right? And so, and oftentimes when I ask people about discipleship, they'll say, I think I know what discipleship is. You know, I read my Bible, I pray, I do these things with Jesus. But sometimes we think we've got it all nailed down and figured out and we really don't have the picture right. And I think that's true with discipleship. But I found these memes online that were people who thought they had nailed something, they got it exactly right, but they had kind of missed. And so here's the first one. This was an Instagram thing that somebody put out. Said, you could use this to make a Christmas photo idea to send an e-card to your friends if you have a newborn. So somebody made their version and they put them together. And here's how it turned out. So the bottom one, they go, I nailed it, I got it. But you look at that and you go, maybe you don't have the whole concept, right? And then the second one was actually somebody who wanted to save some money. They didn't want to go to a bakery and pay for an expensive cake for their child. So they made their own version. And the top version is what it was supposed to look like. And the bottom version was how it turned out. And they said, I got it. I nailed it. But they didn't. And then this is my favorite one. This little kid comes to his parents and says, will you make me an Aquaman? I want to look like Aquaman. That was kind of their hero. Make me an Aquaman costume. And this is how it turned out. And this is for real. Look closely. The breastplate is pineapples. The six pack there, that six pack of abs, corn on the cob, right? They obviously have a nice garden of some sort, right? But in each case, the person, they felt like they had it right. They felt like they'd nailed it, but they'd missed it. When it comes to discipleship, I think for most of us, we think we know what it means. But here's what I want to, and I hope that this, for some of you, it's a new thought, you'll hold on to this, and this will change your spiritual life. Discipleship is always four generations. It's not just you and Jesus. It's you and three other generations. The Apostle Paul models this in 2 Timothy 2. We read this already. I want to read it again. But I want you to notice the four generations here, okay? The Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, his protege, somebody he's discipling, this young pastor. And he says, you then, Timothy, you then, my spiritual son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And Paul says to Timothy, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, Paul says, listen, Timothy, the things I've taught you, what do you do with those things? He says, you entrust them to reliable people. You take their hand and help them grow spiritually. But you don't stop there. What does he say? Who will be qualified to teach others? Did you get the four generations? Here Paul is. He's come out of hating the church, destroying the church, to following Jesus. And now he's discipling. He's helping people. He's taking their hand and helping them climb the hill of faith. And so here's the question. Do you see the four generations, hands locked, climbing the hill of faith? So here's Paul, and he's helping Timothy grow spiritually. He's saying, Timothy, now you grow spiritually, but you, Timothy, take the hands of reliable people, help them grow spiritually. And then you, Timothy, teach them how to teach other people so that they can do what? Teach other people and take someone else's hand. So they can do what? Take someone else's hand. And that's how the church will stay healthy and Christ will shine in our world until he returns again. That we don't travel through our faith like this, hands at our side. We travel like this every day. So in my wife's family growing up, one of the best places for faith to be passed on is in the home. So Sherry was raised by Sherwin and Joan Vleem, a man and woman of God. As much as my parents were atheists, her parents were lovers of Jesus. And so here Sherry is growing up, and Sherwin and Joan, her parents take her hand, and they help her love Jesus, and they teach her to pray and to love the scriptures. Her parents disciple her and pour into her, and then Sherry learns to follow Jesus. And then she takes the hands of each of our sons. She and I together, Zach and Josh and Nate, our three boys, we take their hands, and we teach them to love Jesus. And by God's grace, our three boys love Jesus. But now we're watching them take the hands of our grandchildren, five grandchildren, and our sons, and we're helping too, and we're together trying to help them follow Jesus. I'm in my 60s now. I'm a grandpa. I've been a pastor for almost 40 years. Do I need someone still taking my hand to help me grow in faith? What's the answer? I do. Absolutely. So I've got two retired pastors that I have asked humbly if they would walk with me. They both have said yes, one now for 15 years, one for 10 years. And they're both more than a decade and a half older than I am. And they help me grow in my faith. And then I have taken the hand of different pastors through the years and other people and my sons and others, and I help them grow in faith. But I don't just do that. I teach them how to do it with somebody else. Can I ask you today, your hands right now, are you walking with Jesus like this? Or do you have someone in your life who's walking with you? Do you have people that you're helping along? That's discipleship. It's bigger than just me and Jesus. You and Jesus is great, but you and Jesus walking with others is even more powerful. Question number three. What is the relationship between discipleship and evangelism? How does growing in Jesus connect to going with Jesus? And this is so important. Listen to these words from Matthew chapter 28. It's a familiar passage, but see how both discipleship and evangelism are here. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. It almost sounds like you're making disciples of people before they are baptized. It's like you're holding their hand as non-believers, and then they come to know Jesus, and you're walking on this journey. There's this relationship. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and now teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. This is this picture that discipleship and evangelism are connected. And so I want to give you a picture of how these two things fit together, this growing in Jesus and going with Jesus. And so I thought this through, and I came up with like a little saying of the relationship of evangelism and discipleship. And I'm going to ask you, if you're willing to do it, take your hands out and go put your hands in front of you like this and make two fists like this. Keep your fists in front of you. Now read the first line to me, not the title, but the first line. Let's read together. Ready? And evangelism and discipleship are not enemies. Go like this with your hands and knock your fists together. They're not enemies. They're not fighting each other. Sometimes we treat them like they're rivals in the church, but they're not. All right? Put your hands in front of you again. Make two fists and turn them like this. And let's read the second line. Here we go. Evangelism and discipleship are not just friends. Put them kind of next to each other. They're not just buddies, pals, mates that hang out. Okay? Or they kind of hang out together. No. Now take your hands like this. Lock them together like you're going to pray. Like they're locked together. Hold them together tight and read that last line with me. Evangelism and discipleship are marriage partners. And what God has joined together, let no one tear apart. Right? They're together. If you're growing in Jesus, then you are going with Jesus. Why? Because you go where he calls you to go. You do what he calls you to do. Every time we take someone's hand and help them grow in faith, we're discipling. Every time we walk with Jesus, we're going towards the world with his love and his grace. Some of you look and say, I wouldn't know how to disciple somebody, to take someone and help them grow spiritually. If you're a business person and you did a Bible study at lunch break with people, you're discipling. You're helping them become more like Jesus. If you're a parent teaching your kids to pray, you're discipling them. You're helping them become more like Jesus. If you have a neighbor, or if you're a student and you have a friend who doesn't know about Jesus and you're answering questions about your faith and explaining why you love Jesus, you're helping them take a next step closer to Jesus. Every step matters. One of our grandkids, little Piper, our granddaughter, she got old enough about 6 or 8, maybe a year ago or so, she got old enough to kind of do a Pa and Piper time where I got to hang out with her just one-on-one and do a special time with Piper, as she calls me Pa, as her grandpa. So I had about 2 hour time with Piper at the house there at where our son Nate and his wife Bryn live. And so I had 2 hours with Piper. And I said, Piper, let's make a list of fun things to do. What do you want? And she said, I want to dance, Pa. And I said, okay, I wrote on the sheet, dance. What else do you want to do? And she said, I want to talk about princesses. And I said, I'd love to talk about princesses. You don't always say the truth completely, but I wrote down, talk about princesses. And then I thought I was going to disciple her a little bit. I thought I'd sneak in there. And I go, well, how about this? How about we spend some time praying for your whole family? She says, no, Pa. And I said, well, why not? And she says, you said fun things. Okay, so I let it go, kept writing things down. So then we had a list of things to do. We were doing our different things. Oh, one of her things she wanted, she said, I want to snuggle. And I said, well, I've raised 3 boys. I'm not sure what you mean by snuggle, but okay, great. So we got to, on the list, we got to snuggle. I said, well, Piper, what's snuggling? And she said, okay, Pa, now just go sit on the couch. So I went and sat on the couch. And she ran and got a little quilt. And she ran over and she sat next to me and she put the quilt over her legs and she leaned against me. She's the tiniest little thing. She leaned against me. I'm like, so this is snuggling. She says, yeah. And she sat there. So while we're sitting there, I thought, well, I'm going to sneak this in. And I said, Piper, do you mind if while we're snuggling here, if I prayed for your dad, for my son, Nate? Okay, Pa. And I prayed for him. I said, Piper, will you pray for your mom? Will you pray for Bryn? She prayed a beautiful prayer. Can I pray for your brother? And we just prayed. It was nice. Then we finished our list. And a few days later, Sherry and Piper were sitting on the couch, snuggling with a quilt over their legs. And they said, come snuggle with us. And I went and sat down, pulled the quilt over my legs. And Piper says, Pa, can we pray for our family now? It took one time. And she got it. That's discipleship. You can do this. Take someone's hand, help them grow, help them walk more closely with Jesus. That's the heart of Jesus. This is what I would call the journey of a lifetime. And so, Lord Jesus, this is our prayer. There's so much more we could talk about. And Lord, thank you that this afternoon we get to spend more time talking about these things. But, oh, Lord Jesus, would you help us understand what it looks like to become more like you on the inside so I can be like you on the outside? Help us do those spiritual practices that reflect your presence and your glory, not to put on a show, but just because we love you. And Lord, I pray right now as the worship team comes and as they just beautifully lead us into your presence with this closing song, would you speak to each and every heart of every person gathered today and every person online about how we can take one next step forward in our spiritual growth, to let the fruit of your spirit grow in us and the practices of faith grow out of us, to take your hand and follow you to the lost sheep that you love, that you died for, that you want to save. Lord, as we worship right now, hear our hearts. We lift these words up as worship to you. Speak to our hearts, we pray.